athlete's foot, he had to give her credit for having the guts to fly with them. The important thing was that she would soon be distracted enough not to watch him too closely. That had better apply to Aaron, too. Otherwise, he was going to be in hot water. "Can you explain what will happen from here?" asked the journalist, already knowing the answer, but wanting to film it for possible mass consumption. "As soon as we fly into the outer reaches of the storm," he replied, keeping in mind he was being recorded, "our crew members in the back will prepare the drop probes. These are the yellow cylinders with the screw tops that you filmed while we were loading. Technically, they're just the sensors, mounted on the carriers of the probe via a kind of pneumatic tube system, and then dropped. A parachute slows the fall so that they can sail to the surface. Throughout their flight, they'll send temperature, humidity, and air pressure readings to the weather stations, in this case in Hawaii. They can also measure wind direction and speed, which under normal circumstances helps to predict the movement patterns of a storm and warn affected populations." The eye of the demon became larger and larger outside the cockpit window. Its reach stretched from horizon to horizon, dark claws of extremely excited air particles and frozen water. Even at a great distance, it was possible to see the force with which the dark cloud masses rotated around their center. Flashes of lightning lit up repeatedly throughout the seemingly solid structure, revealing an eerie illusion for fractions of a second, as if the saturated water vapor was the seat of an ancient, evil deity. Bright warnings popped up on David's small weather display, indicating wind speeds approaching record levels. "The drop probes have their own sensors that measure their speed," continued David, "providing further insight into the storm." He struggled to keep anxiety out of his voice and off his face. No easy task. If he died today and this footage was seen, would viewers find him heroic for demonstrating such calm and bravery? Or would they think him an idiot? If they believed the latter, he wasn't sure anyone could argue the point. After 10 years, this was the first time his palms had become sweaty while flying into a storm. On the other hand, there had never been a storm like this one, outside of Jupiter.
"The GPS transmitter starts transmitting just before it hits the sea, right?" asked the journalist.
"Exactly," he confirmed. "So the received data can be assigned to a geographical position."
"How long do the probes fall?"
"For about 10 minutes. During this time, they'll send out around 100 sets of data each. We drop dozens of them per flight." The storm now became a wall of pure darkness in front of them, apart from the angry tendrils of lightning that kept flashing through the mountains of clouds. It was as if the evil deity had decided to let them see its wrath. "Do not come any closer." But that's exactly what they did. The eye of the demon had grown to gargantuan proportions, and its behavior was simply wrong. So it was essential that they found out what was going on.
"It's about to get uncomfortable," said Aaron. "You'd better check your seatbelts again."
David heard a rustle behind him as Jessica complied with the recommendation. Aaron had sounded so hoarse that even the journalist, who had only known her for a short time, had likely noticed.
"Tell us again what you said in the briefing about the C-130,
she said as the black wall in front of them began to cloud up the windows, and panic set in like never before.
"The C-130 is designed for storm resistance," said David, almost glad to have this distraction. "It has an airframe of uncommon strength. In addition, it sports 4 turboprop engines, enough to power through the fiercest of headwinds without breaking down, even while swallowing large amounts of rain and hail."
"Hail?"
"Yes, you'll be able to hear it shortly."
David now took over control of the plane from Aaron as planned, and felt the familiar vibration in the steering. He reduced the thrust slightly and checked the altitude and speed one last time. Both were stable. Then he pressed the button for the cabin announcements.
2 minutes, he said loudly.
After just a few seconds, the aircraft began to shake, as if it were traveling at too high a speed over a gravel road. The cockpit began to rattle. What would have caused an anxious silence in a passenger plane wasn't even worth mentioning to the 10 crew members sitting at their workstations in the back. But that changed when they dipped their first toe into the